Our scripture lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Again, that's Matthew 22, 1 through 14. Let's hear Jesus' words. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in a parable, and he said, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see his guests, he noticed there a man who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So I want to tell you a story about a super cool person, me. I know you can't believe that. It may surprise you to find out that I was not always invited to the party, right? It might surprise you to find out that I was not cool. In fact, you end up as the preacher. You probably were never cool, right? Let's be honest. So I was so cool that I was the section leader in the marching band. I was the president of the math club, something my wife will never let me forget, and was on the quiz bowl team. I was a star, right? So you might guess, how many of the cool parties did I get invited to? About zero, that's right. Not a bad thing when you grow up a little bit, but now, I was invited to a party after the prom, my junior year, I want to say it was, and I almost had a heart attack, okay? Now, was I invited by the head of the football team? No. Was I invited by the head cheerleader? No. I was invited by, you know, some people who were kind of like me. But the fact will remain, I got invited to a party, and I was thrilled, right? This was the fulfillment of my entire high school experience, right? I was getting to be a part of a big party. And so I don't even remember what we did at the party other than I think we watched like Blair Witch Project or something. So this is, you know, we were weird. But anyway, we had a good time. But I knew other guys who were at parties all the time. And they were selective, though, of which parties they would attend, right? Because they had many choices. Now, the difference between them and me, other than athletic ability, looks, all that kind of stuff, was that access, right? When you have a lot of options, suddenly you become very selective, right? So think about it like this. I grew up in a little town, not all that different from Welford, though not as close to actual stuff. Okay, I grew up in a little town where we were so excited that we got a McDonald's that the marching band came and played at the opening. Okay, all right. So going to McDonald's was a big deal, and I would never turn down McDonald's. Now, I live in a place where within 2 miles of my house, I have 37 options. Right, so I can be selective, and I can say I don't want to eat there. I don't want to go to that McDonald's. I'm going to go to the good one, right? Or I don't want to go to McDonald's. I want to go to the Thai place. I want to go to this. I want to go to that, right? I can have all these options so I can be selective. It's the same way with parties. It's the same way with people, isn't it? We can be, sometimes when we have a lot of options, we tend to be picky about which one we choose. So I want to ask you, when we read this scripture, it's an odd scripture, isn't it? There's a wedding party that's thrown by the king, and he invites all the usual people, right? He invites the cool people, the people who are in the in crowd, the people who sit at the cool table in the lunchroom, the people who have memberships to the exclusive club, right? He invites those people because that's who the king hangs out with, right? The high society folks who know how to put their cufflinks on and that sort of thing. The high society folks who frequent the places that maybe the people with the blue collar don't go, right? He invites those people. And how do they respond? Hey, look, I'm really busy. You know, it's not a good night for me, okay? I've got other stuff to do. Then the king sends out his servants again and says, hey, come to the party. And a couple of them give excuses and run off. And the rest of them beat up the servants, give them swirlies and send them off, right? Where do we fit? Whenever you hear a parable, the question you need to ask yourself is, where do I fit? Where does my church fit? Where does my nation fit? Where does the church, big C, fit right now in this story, right? Do we expect to be at the cool table? Do we take for granted that we're in the in crowd, right? Think about another famous parable, the prodigal son, right? Everybody always focuses on the younger son who runs off and comes back. What about the older son? I think he took for granted that he was in the cool crowd, right? He took for granted that he was the one who was going to get the inheritance, that everything his father had was going to belong to him, right? Do we take that for granted? Do we assume that because we have perfect attendance at Sunday school until COVID? Do we expect that because we were on certain committees? Or do we expect that because we've contributed to whatever organization or whatever, that we are on the inside while others are on the outside? We don't get to assume that we are right because we're part of the in crowd. Now, that's something that is hard for us to think about when we've been in the in crowd for so long, right? Sometimes you can be popular and wrong, right? Or sometimes you can be popular and forgetting about the people who are unpopular. Do we, as the people who are in the in crowd, and let me tell you, we are because we're in here today, right? We are part of the in crowd because we have chosen to come, or we've been brought here by Christ, whatever it is, we're part of the insiders in the church. And we may say, but I'm that one that's had their chains removed, and I've been set free, and I've been brought to this place, and it's all because of Jesus. But the people who are on the outside don't know that. They see us in our special club, right? They say they go to their special place and they meet once a week and they do stuff and we don't know what they do, and then they're gone and they come back the next week. And I don't feel welcome there. Do we decide and enforce who gets to be at the table, right? Every, you know, TV show that's ever been about high school, right? There's the cool kids table. And what happens when the girl with the glasses and the hair that's tied up tries to come and sit with them? Right? She gets told, this isn't your seat. No, this is saved for somebody else. Doesn't matter if there's anybody in it, right? You go sit over there. Okay? Do we decide who gets to sit at the table? And if we decide who gets to sit at the table, what do the people at that table look like? Does everybody look like us? Does everybody look like me? Is everybody white? Is everybody straight? Do only people with money get to participate? Or are we so excited to be able to celebrate that we go? Sometimes we get wrapped up in remembering how we used to be, right? We get wrapped up in saying, but I came because Jesus saw me at my lowest, and I came, and now I'm different. That's true. But then, just like me, as the small town kid who was used to be so excited to go to McDonald's or Pizza Hut, turns his nose up at going to Pizza Hut now, right? Because I would rather have, you know, fancy pizza from over there, right? Do we get so in love with being part of the in crowd that we forget where we came from? Or are we so excited to be able to celebrate that we go? the party that I got invited to in high school, which probably was the only one I got invited to in high school, by the way, was, just at somebody's house, and it wasn't fancy. There was no dress code, although we showed up in prom outfits because it was right after the prom, okay? There was no dress code. There was nothing fancy. There actually wasn't even any illicit substances, okay? Nothing that was illegal, and yet I was thrilled to be there. Why? Because someone wanted me to come, right? There's power in being invited. And when you haven't been invited or you feel like no one wants you there, you feel that too, don't you? We all know what it's like to be told, yeah, we're all going out after work and we're doing this. Oh, yeah, well, you weren't supposed to hear that. Right? Nobody likes to be left out. And woe be unto us when we leave people out of the kingdom because of our preferences. Someone on Twitter this morning, I just happened to be, and it's probably a bad idea, but this time it was good, okay, said, imagine standing face to face with Jesus and explaining to him denominations. Right? Think about that for a minute. You go to the new kingdom, you go to heaven, and you meet Jesus, and he says, what's this stuff about Methodists? This person over here says they're a Baptist. What the heck is that? Right? Because Jesus says, I didn't make that. Right? How did all these things come about? Because we can't get along, right? Because we can't love one another. In the three sets of churches that I served before I went to SMC, the first set had a church where it was a two-point charge. So one church was used to be an MEC South, right? You know they came from because they were in favor of slavery, okay? But they merged about 100 years after the Civil War in the 1960s with the MEC North Church that was opposed to slavery. Now, that's a positive story, right? But for over 100 years, they were apart because of something that they should have realized pretty quickly was wrong, right? But they didn't, and it took them over 100 years to get back together. The other church was a Methodist church because they were the only church in that whole valley for like 75 to 100 years. It was just Piney Grove Church. There was nothing to it, just a church. The Methodists got mad at the other people and locked the doors one Sunday and said, the rest of you can't come in. Now there's five churches in that valley. And guess which one's the smallest? The Methodists. Why? Because they decided who got to come to the table and who didn't. Now, do you think Jesus was in that decision? Absolutely not, right? And then the second set of churches I served, you know why they split up? Somebody wanted to buy a dumpster. I'm not kidding. They wanted to put a dumpster out in back of the church so they could throw the trash in there and have somebody pick it up every week. They put a dumpster out there and half the church left. Now, is that Christian?
No,
right? Now, I don't know all the other background stuff. Frankly, it was just so ridiculous that I didn't try to learn the rest of it, okay? But look, those kinds of stories are repeated over and over and over across our nation, across Christianity, right? We can't get along over some silly thing or something where one side is clearly wrong, right? We don't want to talk about it, but the MEC South was wrong, right? You can't support owning other people. And rather than owning up to that and saying, hey, we were wrong, let's get back together, three generations passed before they got back together. Or we get mad over a preacher said something wrong, or we put a dumpster outside, or they changed the color of the carpet, or they bought new curtains, or whatever, right? And now our denomination wants to split up over understandings of sexuality, right? Without understanding that there are people in each and every congregation that have different perspectives on things, right? We have people who have different perspectives on a million different things, and yet we pick one thing and we decide we can't live with one another, right? What a shame that we decide who gets to be at the table and who doesn't. Because in the end, right, there's an end to this story, right? And in the end of this story, the only one that gets to decide who gets to be at the table is who? The king. Right? And I ain't the king. The Methodist Church ain't the king. America's not the king. Only Christ, only God is the king. So, Imagine that. Now, this is how I got off on a discourse about denominations, but we are so obsessed with deciding who gets to sit at the table that we cut ourselves off from amazing perspectives. We cut ourselves off from cool people who could have made the party more fun, right? And our party looks less and less like the kingdom of God. One of the things I love about the Methodist Church, one thing that we finally got right, is that we have female pastors. Right? Now, some of you ladies out here remember a time when we didn't. Right? It's only been 50 years or so since we've allowed women to preach. Now, how silly is that? How many generations of people in the church, men, women, children, missed out on wonderful perspectives on God's word filtered through a female lens because we decided that women couldn't do that? How many of our brothers and sisters in other denominations are missing out on that perspective? I know personally, and again, I'm getting off on the sidetrack, the best sermons I've ever heard have been delivered by women. Okay. How many times do we cut off ourselves, cut off our nose to spite our face because we decided something's not okay? I have to tell you this, and I think it's going to make you uncomfortable, that there are going to be people at the party. And by the party, I mean heaven, and by the party, I mean the new kingdom. There are going to be people at the party who you don't think have any right to be there. Right? You're going to walk into the party and you're going to say, "What is he doing here? I don't like him." Right? He voted the wrong way. He looked the wrong way. He loved the wrong people. He went to the wrong school. He did this, X, Y, and Z, right? And yet, we celebrate that Jesus, while hanging on the cross with a convicted criminal, says, "When will you be with me in paradise?" Amen. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." If the thief on the cross can be in the new kingdom, then everybody that we disagree with can be there, and even you and I can be there.
Amen.
Because there's somebody who's going to come into that party, and they're going to say, "What the hell is Tim doing there?" Right? There are people who have been told to sit down and shut up by the church. And it has hurt them, and it has kept them out of the party. And it has weakened our discussion. It has weakened our witness in the world. There are families who have had to leave our parties, right? Who have been told, "You're not welcome at our party," because they were divorced or remarried or in an interracial relationship, or they were gay or had a child out of wedlock, and the list goes on and on, right? We pick all kinds of reasons to exclude somebody, right? Take it back to high school. "You can't come to this party. You're in the math club. You can't come to this party. You wear glasses." And it's silly stuff like that, right? We say those high schoolers are dumb, and then we do the exact same thing in adult society. We say, "You can't be in my club because you checked the wrong box on the voting bar, or on the voting, whatever it's called, the machine now." Right? You're going to, when you get to the kingdom, and I hope that we all get to the kingdom, when we get there, we're going to see somebody that we think is lost, and they're going to be there enjoying the party with Jesus. Now that sounds bad at first, but I think it's wonderful, right? There was a picture. Did we get the picture? Awesome. Rachel Held Evans, a theologian who passed away a couple of years ago, she had a quote about what it is to be a Christian, what God's kingdom is like. She said, "This is what God's kingdom is like. It's a bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at a table. Not because they are rich or worthy or even good, but because they are hungry and because they said yes. And there's always room for more." A party with everybody who's the same is a boring party, right? A party with people who sit there and don't change and don't say anything and don't rock the boat is a boring party, right?
Amen.
We need diversity in our party. We need to have a party where people are excited and on fire and different and can say, "This is what it was like for me. Well, this is what it was like for me. Here's how I serve Jesus in this community, and here's how I serve Jesus in this community." Guess what? It didn't matter that the people who were in positions of power thought that I couldn't be a minister or couldn't be a servant of Jesus or shouldn't be in the good crowd. Jesus thought that I belonged in. And Jesus came out and found me in the street and brought me in. Right? So the father goes to the party after all the crazy people from the streets have been brought in. And then he sees all the outcasts and the street people, and he kicks a guy out, right? For not being properly dressed. And what the heck? What is he doing there, right? Well, what it says to me is that everybody else was dressed to celebrate, right? Historically speaking, there are people who say that when you went to a wedding party, you were given a wedding robe, okay? So that helps. So if somebody gave you a wedding robe and you refused to wear it, what are you saying to the person who started the party? You're saying, I don't really want to be here, right? So if everybody else is dressed to celebrate and this guy's not, he's showing through his clothing that he didn't want to be there. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be there, right? Yeah. I want to be in that party, right? I may not have gotten invited to a lot of parties in the time where coolness and popularity mattered, but I serve a God who doesn't care about that stuff, right? I serve a God who doesn't care about what the world says, who is not a respecter of persons, right? Remember the story about how King David got chosen, right? He didn't look right. He didn't look the part. He wasn't a king, and yet God chose him. So I serve a God that goes out in the streets and grabs out the oddballs and the weirdos and brings them to the party. That's a wonderful thing. And so I want to be ready. I want to be dressed for the party. So how do I do that? Well, I would like to humbly submit Colossians 3:12. Paul says, therefore, as God's chosen people, right? Chosen not to be better than everybody else, but chosen to come to the party, right? God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That sounds like a pretty good outfit to wear, right? How dare we show up for the party thinking that we are better than other people then? That's not humility, that's arrogance. How dare we show up filled with cruelty and anger or uncaring about the suffering of our neighbors? If we show up to the party without wearing the right outfit, then it's time for the king to call the bouncers. Amen. You and I have been wonderfully blessed. There were times in our lives, maybe even right now, where we don't feel like we belong at the party. And Jesus came into the streets, came and found us where we were curled up under the blanket under the overpass, came and saw us where we were shooting dice, came and found us in the bar and said, you come to my party. Because I love you and I want to bring you to my party. And we said, yes. I want to be ready to go to that party, right? I want to be dressed and ready to go. After all, if we're not dressed, if we're not clothed with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, then that party is not going to be very fun, right? We're going to feel like we don't fit in. So I want us to be ready. I don't want Jesus to have to call the bouncers. So let's get dressed and be ready to say yes when we're invited. Amen?
Amen. Amen.